Welcome to the 16th installment of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains 12 commandments, concluding the laws of idol worship. Prohibition number 35 is the prohibition of chever chaver. This is a prohibition against uttering certain incantations or charms, which, as the Rambam says in his legal code, are not in any known language. And the person utters them with the intention of helping something or hurting something or someone. As the example is given in the Sifri, that it is used for a snake or for a scorpion. Meaning, either they utter such sayings in order to prevent the creature from biting them, or after being already bitten, they make such utterances in order to keep the pain away or to effect a cure. Anyone that is chever chaver is punished by malchus, by lashes, says the Rambam. And details of this law are discussed in the 7th chapter of the tractate Shabbos. Prohibition 38 is deresh el hamesim, to inquire of the dead. The idea is that they try, through various actions, to bring up the dead to answer their questions. These people think that they are doing so with their actions, and they, the Rambam says parenthetically, are the ones that are meisim be'emes, that they are the ones that are truly dead, that even though they are eating, and they still eat, and they still feel, since they make such a terrible mistake that their actions can have such effects, they therefore are called meisim because their life is not a true life. What do they do? The Talmud in Sanhedrin says that they would starve themselves and then go to sleep in the cemetery and wait for the spirit of impurity to dwell upon them and have the dead person come to answer their questions. As the Rambam explains, they would do various types of actions and dress in special types of clothing in order that the dead person would come in their sleep to answer their questions. For this prohibition also, the punishment is lashing. Previously, we discussed the two prohibitions of Eiv and Yudeni. Eiv was when a person would burn incense and do various sorts of strange acts, such as waving a myrtle branch, or else they would take a skull and, through burning an incense and so on, would create an appearance as if a voice was speaking, either from under the ground or from the person's armpit. Yudeni would be taking the bone of a certain bird called a yudea, and again through the burning of incense and various strange acts and words, the person would fall to the ground and start to tell the future. Those prohibitions, number 8 and 9, apply to the person who was actually doing this act of Eiv and Yudeni. Prohibitions 36 and 37 apply to the person that comes to ask these people for advice. Both of them are prohibited, but not in the same way as the previous prohibitions. As the Rambam quotes the Sifri that says, for the person that actually does the act, he is violating a prohibition for which the punishment is death by stoning. However, a person that merely inquires, although he is doing a prohibition, is not punishable by death. If he inquires of Eiv, he is violating prohibition 36, and if he inquires of Yudeni, he is violating prohibition 37. The law is that should he do an action based on what the Eiv or Yudeni says, then he is lashed, he gets malchus. And should he not, then he is given malchus mardus, only by rabbinic decree is he lashed. Prohibition number 34 is the prohibition against kishuf, against witchcraft or sorcery. This prohibition against sorcery is punishable by skila, by stoning if done intentionally, and if done unintentionally, the person must bring a chatos, a sin offering, as discussed in the 7th chapter of Tractate Sanhedrin. Prohibition number 43 is not to shave the sides of the head. As the verse says, Lei sakifu pa'as reishchem, do not cut the sides of your head, the corners of your head. This commandment, as well as all of the commandments to the end of today's portion, either are grouped here because they are part of idol worship, or they were done by people who are idol worshippers. And so too in this case, the ones that worshipped idols used to cut the hair, shave the two sides of their head above the and immediately adjoining the ears. We can see this, the Rambam says, from the discussion in the Talmud in Yevamos, that normally we might assume that if a person shaved the entire head, this would be allowed. That we might think that since the prohibition was made because of the idol worshippers, if we cut our head, shave our head in a way different from the way they did, it would be allowed. And therefore the Talmud says no. If a person shaves the entire head, they're also transgressing this prohibition of Bal Takif, that they are forbidden from shaving these parts of the head. The law is, says the Rambam, that one would incur lashes for each side. For shaving one side, they would get one set of lashes, and if they shave both, they would get two sets of lashes. But nevertheless, it does not count as two separate commandments, that since it is only given in one verse, and the plural form is used to say the two sides of the head, since there is only one statement made, we cannot count it as two separate commandments, as rather one commandment. The Rambam mentions in his legal code that the prohibition here is only cutting the, shaving the head with a razor, but with scissors there is no prohibition. However, there is an intermediate category discussed in the various halachic authorities of using scissors just like a razor. And the conclusion in the code of Jewish law is that even using scissors like a razor is also prohibited in cutting this area of the head. Prohibition number 44 is the prohibition of cutting one's beard. What is meant by the beard? The Rambam tells us that there are five places which are referred to as the corners of the beard. The upper and lower part of the right and left jaw, and also the point of the chin. They are known as the five corners. And the verse prohibits cutting pa'azakonecha, the corners of your beard. Why does it say the corners and not say simply to not cut your beard? The reason is that the Torah wants to tell us that cutting even one part of the beard is also prohibited. As the Rambam brings out from the Mishnah and Gemara, that if one would cut the entire beard, one would incur five sets of lashes for each of the five corners of the beard. And therefore they are counted as separate prohibitions in the sense that one is punished separately for each of them. The Rambam gives us the reason for this mitzvah as well, by telling us that this is to not imitate the priests of idolatrous priests who were accustomed to cutting their beards. Bringing this reason for the prohibition of cutting the beard is of great halachic importance, that the main biblical violation is cutting one's beard with a razor. But through using something other than a razor, the Rambam says one is pater, which as the vast majority of commentaries explain, means pater aval asr. One would not get lashed, but it is certainly a prohibition to reduce the size of the beard in any way, whether with scissors or with some sort of other treatment. And we can clearly understand this with the reason the Rambam gives, that since the reason is not to imitate the idolatrous priests, it does not matter how the hair is taken off of the face. No matter how the hair is taken off, one would end up imitating some of these idolatrous priests. And therefore the Rambam holds, as the vast majority of commentaries, legal commentaries hold, that it is forbidden to remove hair from the face in any manner, not only with a razor blade. These last two commandments are discussed in the Talmudic tractate Makos, which also points out that out of all of the 365 negative commandments, all of the prohibitions, these are the only two in which women are exempt. Therefore, even if a woman somehow would end up growing a beard, should she shave it, she is violating no prohibition. She is certainly allowed to cut hair off of her face, even though a man may not. Prohibitions 39 and 40 are very similar. Prohibition 39 is that a woman may not wear clothing or other accompanying articles of dress of a man. And prohibition number 40 is the converse, that a man may not wear any garments or ornaments of a woman. Two reasons are given for these commandments by the Rambam. One is that it leads to immoral practices, that it was done for lewd purposes. And a second reason that Rambam gives is, again, that it was done by idol worshippers, that this was in certain types of idolatrous practices, part of the worship, to put on the clothing of the opposite gender. What is considered clothing of a man and clothing of a woman? This is judged according to the time and place, says the Rambam. It should be pointed out, however, that even when this prohibition is not being transgressed, other prohibitions might be involved, which also preclude the use of certain forms of dress. For example, women wearing pants. Often the argument is made that they are imitating men's clothing. But even without this argument, there are other reasons of modesty, due to these reasons, a woman, even if it was the matter of dress for a woman to wear pants, nevertheless it would be forbidden for reasons of modesty. Violation of either of these commandments is punishable by malchus or lashes for the violation of the biblical command. Other examples are given of ways in which a man would be imitating a woman's dress. For example, a man dyeing his hair black in order to cover over the graying is violating this prohibition of imitating a woman's dress, since he is imitating the ways of a woman. And so too, removing white or gray hairs from his head or from his beard is also imitating what a woman normally does, taking out these hairs which indicate her advancing age. A man is strictly forbidden from doing so. And so too, shaving parts of the body which are normally shaven only by women, such as the legs, would also constitute a violation of this prohibition number 40. Prohibition number 41 is the prohibition of wearing or creating a tattoo. As was the custom among idol worshippers, and as the Rambam says, even in his days, in the Coptic sect, they would make different engravings in their skin and then fill it with red dye or blue dye or other colored dyes, simply put a tattoo. The Rambam explains in his legal code that the purpose of this tattoo was to indicate that the person was in fact a slave to the particular idol and is therefore closely connected with idolatrous practices. The punishment for violating this prohibition is again lashes, as discussed in the end of the Tractate Makkos. Prohibition number 45 is the prohibition of slicing or making cuts in one's flesh. This was also an idolatrous practice, as discussed in the Book of Prophets in the story of Elijah the prophet when he met the idol worshippers of the Baal. This was also done, as explained in the Tractate Makkos, when a person would die. And the law is that if a person makes these incisions in the flesh, should it be upon the occasion of a death, then the person would be violating this prohibition no matter how he cuts the skin. Should he be doing it as part of an idolatrous practice, then if he cuts with his hand, he is exempt from punishment. But should he do it with a knife or some other implement, then he would be punished by lashes. Two different expressions are used in the Chumash for this prohibition. One is the idea of the seret lenefesh lositnu bivsarchem, the idea of a cutting called seret, and then another verse uses the words loisis gedidu. In the Tractates Yevamos and Makkos, it is explained that both of these expressions are identical, that srita is like gedida. Both of them involve cutting of the skin, and both for the same purpose. It is also explained in the Talmud that the verse Lasis Gedidu comes to teach us something else, that we shouldn't have disagreement and we shouldn't break up into various groups which will be arguing with one another and making harmonious life difficult. This, however, is not in and of itself a biblical commandment, says the Rambam. This is rather a drash, an explanation which is related back to this verse. But the simple meaning of the verse Loisis Gedidu relates back to our prohibition of making incisions in the flesh. And so too the Rambam says the verse we have in the Torah, that do not act like Korach and his congregation, referring to the disagreement that Korach made with Aaron and challenging him for the priesthood, is also not a biblical prohibition. This is rather advice that we should not do so that we should not be punished, and explaining that although Korach, as told in the Chumash, was given a very unique punishment, that him and his congregation were swallowed by a hole in the earth. Nevertheless, in the future, although one should still not challenge Aaron's priesthood, nevertheless, the punishment is a different one. As is told with the story of the king Uzziah, that his punishment was saras. He broke out in a white skin condition, as a result of his challenge to the priesthood. Our final commandment in today's portion is Prohibition 171. This is the prohibition of tearing or cutting hair from the head, again as mourning for the dead. This prohibition is described in two different places in Chumash. In one place it is written, V'leisasimu korcha b'neinechem l'meis. Do not make such a cutting between your eyes, cutting the hair between your eyes for a dead person. And in another place in the book of Leviticus, regarding the Kohanim, the priests, it is commanded, Lo yikrachu korcha bereshem, do not cut the hair from your head. What is the purpose of this apparent repetition? After all, if we know all people may not do this, certainly we know the Kohen cannot do it either. But both verses are necessary. The first verse says you may not cut between your eyes on a dead person. We might think from this verse that the only place where it is prohibited to tear out the hair is in the area directly opposite the area between the eyes. But tearing hair from the rest of the head would be allowed. Therefore, the verse comes in the book of Leviticus saying, do not cut bereshem, anywhere on your head, to tell you the hair must not be torn from anywhere. Conversely, why couldn't we use such an expression, lo yikrachu korchal bereshem? This would seem to be complete. Do not tear the hair from your head. For this, however, we need the other verse. Because the other verse, although it says between your eyes, it also says lameis, for a dead person, on the occasion of a death. From this we learn that the only time someone would get lashes if they tear out their hair after a person has died in reaction to this loss. However, should they tear out their hair for another reason, they are not punished by lashes. In order to get the punishment of lashes, the Rambam says, one must do it only on the occasion of a death, and also tear out the sufficient amount of a gris, approximately the size of a bean. This, that both verses come to complete each other, is explained in the Tractate Makkos, as well as some other mitzvahs, such as cutting the beard and making incisions in the flesh, as we discussed in the previous commandments, also are discussed there, how the various repetitions help to complete the entire picture and idea of their particular commandment.